relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway. We're going to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about. Okay. Hang on. Sorry. Oh, Sing Min, Ms. Kim.
We're going to do something a little bit different today. Team, get your headphones on, get close to your mics. So, I had to do something this afternoon that necessitated me being in another radio studio across the hall. Why? Because the great Don Crow has his radio program when I do, and he wanted to interview me. So we did a little pre-record with the great Don Crow, which meant, sadly, I couldn't watch Joe Biden's first press conference as president since being sworn in. It's only taken him 65 days. As my good friend Chris Plant said this morning, not since before electricity was invented have we waited 65 days. It's actually been more than a century, 65 days, for an incumbent president to give a press conference after being sworn in. So what happens when I finish my pre-record with Don Crow, which should be airing any moment now, so you'll have a bit of a tussle, you'll have a little bit of a schizophrenic challenge as to whether or not you're going to listen to us or him. Listen to his podcast. But he's a great guy. I come into the studio in mid-Biden, to find my team standing there in the green room, with the volume turned up and with sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden giving his press conference. I don't know, words fail me, which isn't a good thing for a radio host, as to the expressions on their faces. I'm not sure I'd seen these expressions before. Let's start with the legend himself. Mr. G, you were there. You were there as history was being made. The first time in 100 years that a president has waited so long. Could you give us Mr. G's analysis of President Biden's news conference.
Well, I think you're going to have to wait a lot more than 65 days for the second press conference after that. First of all, I couldn't believe just when I was driving in today, I heard Ager saying that they had been practicing with mock press conferences.
For a week and a half. A week and a half. And let me tell you this. This isn't because I worked for President Trump. I caught the Q&A with you guys. I've never seen... At one point, he pulls up his notepad. He's got a note. He's got a ring-bounded little notebook that he's looking his notes up. President Trump maybe had one card with some bullet points. I've never seen any president with a ring-bounded notebook where he looks down for his notes. So give us some of the highlights for you that even surprised you, Mr. G.
Him trailing off a lot, but what kind of surprised me is how many times he actually went to the note cards. He did that a lot. I would say they said it was, I think, a little bit over an hour. At least 30 minutes of it was him on the note cards. The other thing, a couple of times you could tell he practiced a little bit. It sounded okay for him. But what surprised me is kind of towards the end is just how boring it was. He wasn't screwing it up. He didn't really know where he was going, but it was just so slow, just so boring, basically talking about nothing.
Yeah, I caught one answer, and it was like watching paint dry. It was so boring. But he was there in the green room. Let's go to the professor. Professor, you are a professional communicator. You actually... Didn't you take rhetoric? Didn't you actually compete in debates, Professor?
I did through high school and college.
Okay,
it's a part of the core at Hillsdale as well, so I learned a lot about rhetoric in that respect.
You are qualified.
Yeah, something that really stuck out to me about it was that he would receive a question, right? And then you would see the gears work for a second, and then he'd be like, okay, China. And then he'd look down, and he'd flip through two pieces of paper and be like, all right, China. It was like there was a TV delay, but it was three or four times longer than it should have been.
It was a brain delay.
Exactly. And then on top of that, you know, these are his buddies. These are the people who got the guy elected, and he's being a jerk to them. And I understand doing that for the point of performance or whatever, but he was super aggressive with people who were asking straight at, like...
That woman who asked him a question, kind of sexist, kind of, oh, do you know who's going to run in 2024? It's like... are you on the playground? What's going on?
I can see why he'd think he was trying to be dynamic. He was trying to use zingers or whatever.
Not how
but
it came across.
It's just not coming across. And it's obvious that he's spent way too much time thinking about it / way too much time running prep. Like, that actually can hurt you in the long run.
Oh,
and it's
yes.
obvious that it did
too
in that
case. Too much prep. Too much prep can kill you, right?
100%. 100%.
Love it. Okay, grade it, Professor. Grade it.
Oh, gosh. On what kind of scale? What do you want? Out of 10? 2, maybe.
D
minus. D minus.
All right, let's go to the guy who's going to be the spiciest. Let's go to Eric. Are you there, Mr. Eric?
I've got your 6, as always.
Oh, I love it. Okay, just free reign. Just free association. Do it, man!
The answers he gave that stood out to me the most were all... They all had to do with immigration. My mind was actually blown by the part where he talked about... He was asked about all the immigration crisis. What do you think about the border, blah, blah, blah. And he just started trailing off on things he did as vice president. At one point, he said, you know, when I was vice president, I worked on a plan to implement more streetlights in these poor countries where they're coming from. Because the streets, when they're dark at night, they're more dangerous. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Streetlights? Like, okay. But then even other things, I think it was mentioned before.
Can I just stop there for a second? So Donald Trump crushes ISIS, but Biden got some streetlights built in Mexico City. Is that what he said?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
He also, of course, he actually blamed the weather for the border surge. He's like, no, it's colder now. It's hot in the summer and people die in the desert. So, of course, they're coming now. But I think one thing that stood out is he definitely started repeating himself. He had one, I guess, kind of a zinger. He thought it was a zinger. And he repeated it multiple times in the press conference. You know, one reporter was like, oh, didn't you expect more immigrants to come because you're better on immigration than Trump? He's like, well, yeah, I would hope they're all coming here because they think I'm a nice guy. You know, ha, 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 I'm a nice guy. He then repeated that line, I'd like to think I'm a nice guy, like 3 more times in the press conference.
And he mentioned he used that hackneyed old, as my father told me. Didn't he use that again?
Oh, yeah. He used so many platitudes over and over again, like the whole, look, here's the deal. He said that so many times throughout the press conference. My Republican colleagues. It reminded me of the second debate between him and President Trump. At one point where the president called him out for saying, oh, you talk about kitchen table issues. How many politicians have used that line before? Like,
right.
Use all the same lines you've heard a million times before.
Okay, guys, if you think we're just rubbing it in a little bit, we're being a little bit flexible with the truth, Just listen for yourself. Just watch if you are live streaming us on YouTube. This is Cut 10 when he's asked about his North Korea policy after two missiles have been shot by Lil Kim into the Sea of Japan. Video Cut 10. Play cut.
We're consulting with our allies and partners, and there will be responses if they choose to escalate. We will respond accordingly. But I'm also prepared for some form of diplomacy, but it has to be conditioned upon the end result of denuclearization. So that's what we're doing right now, consulting with our allies.
That was 33 seconds long, and I counted four ums. Four ums. And he had to read his notes on North Korea. But why do you have to read? There was nothing in there about throw weights of nuclear missiles. There was nothing about treaty stipulations and subparagraphs. Nothing you'd have to read. But he had to. And I think you know how Little Kim, how the Mullahs, how Vlad, and how Xi Jinping drew the requisite conclusions after today's fiasco of a press conference. And Mr. G's right. It's going to be a little bit more than 65 days until the next one. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and you're listening to America First.
You're asking me, do I feel particularly comfortable that the president, the then president of the United States, could not express his views on Twitter? I don't feel comfortable about that. Now, I don't know what the answer is. Do you want hate speech and conspiracy theories traveling all over this country? No. Do you want the internet to be used for authoritarian purposes and an insurrection, if you like? No, you don't. So how you balance that, I don't know, but it is an issue that we have got to be thinking about, because if anybody who thinks, you know, yesterday it was Donald Trump who was banned and tomorrow it could be somebody else who has a different, very different point of view. So I don't like giving that much power to a handful of high-tech people.
Bernie regrets the banning of President Trump from Twitter. Why? He doesn't want to see it exploited by authoritarians. Well, then he should pay attention to what the Democrats are doing. But my, oh my, wouldn't it be wonderful to see the president responding on Twitter today to what I think is the worst press conference in history? Maybe somebody else shares that view. Let's ask him. He is Mr. Washington, D.C., for the most influential conservative website on the planet, Breitbart.com's Matt Boyle. Welcome, Matt.
Dr. Gorka, always a pleasure. I can think of only one press conference ever that rivals this one in terms of, like, worse for the subject giving it, and that would be Anthony Weiner's press conference,
oh, yeah,
at which Andrew Breitbart took the podium ahead of him. That's that. I mean, for different reasons, of course,
yeah,
right?
Okay. But okay, let's say,
but
worst,
like, this is that bad for Joe Biden. Let's
say
be honest
worst
here.
Presidential presser. How's that?
There
How's
we that? Go. I think okay. It's safe to say this is the worst presidential press conference in American history. So,
now we've been analyzing it with the whole team since the show opened, and the reports, I mean, you're the expert. You have the best sources. I think they're credible that this man who had a notebook, he referred to a ring-bounded notebook, was rehearsing off, Matt. And this is the result?
Right. Well, not only that, but, like, did you see it towards the end there when he kind of just, like, wandered off?
Yes, we have the video. Okay, stop. Right, stop, like, stop. You're a genius. You're a mind reader. Yeah. We actually have that clip. So it's video cut 14 for those of you who are watching on YouTube. For those listening, we're going to explain it to you. Play cut 14.
How do you realistically and physically keep these families from coming to the U.S. when things will not get better in their countries right away?
Well, I can't guarantee that. But I know You know, that old thing, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step.
So I think he's in the East Room of the White House. A reporter, fully masked up, asks the question. And he starts walking towards her, away from the microphone, away from the podium. Matt, he must have thought he was in some CNN town hall studio.
Something like that. I don't know. It was the last reporter that he called on. So maybe he thought he was done and then was leaving. And then the reporter asked to follow. I don't know. I wouldn't know unless I was able to sit down and ask Joe Biden what happened
there.
Oh,
have you put a request in? I need to know. Has Matt Boyle asked for an exclusive interview like he had so many times with President Trump?
I have not sent in a formal request to President Biden just because I fully expect that they will I'll probably be after Peter Ducey. Let's put it that way.
Peter Ducey, Peter Ducey, who had a whole binder of questions to ask, and he didn't get to ask any of them.
Look, I don't think President Biden has the guts to sit down with me because I would actually ask him some serious questions. Look, during this press conference, Dr. Gorka, it's a shame on the there were a couple of decent questions from the media. I will give them that. There were a couple of them that asked good questions about immigration. But for the most part, it was a total failure. I mean, first off, we've been gripped by a pandemic for a year and not a single question about the pandemic. Not one. Then secondly, the left and the media and the Democrats like to gripe about the quote unquote biggest civil rights issue of our time. I don't know what it is today. Is it HR1 or is it Puerto Rico or DC statehood? I'll tell you what the biggest civil rights issue of our time is. It's the fact that our kids in schools across America are not in school five days a week.
God bless you, Matt.
Right. So the not one question about reopening our economy and particularly our schools. Like, there are still schools across America that are closed down either all the way or partially. And the president of the United States held his first press conference more than 2 months into his administration and wasn't asked about it once. That's a disgrace. These people should be ashamed of themselves. Every reporter in that room who was gracious enough to be called on by Joe Biden, to be permitted to ask a question by the president of the United States and the White House staff. He seemed to have some trouble reading the names off the list, too.
He did.
Didn't notice that. But anyway, the point is that they should all be ashamed of themselves that not one of them asked about schools.
Okay. You are, the insider. You know how the Byzantine city that is Babylon functions. I want to ask you the first question on the left's appreciation. How is the Democrat Party going to look at that hour-long, whatever you want to call it, Matt Boyle?
I think they look at that.
What does Nancy think? What does Schumer think? What does cackling Kamala think?
Well, look, I think that any hope that they had of trying to convince Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to put their entire reputations on the line to vote to do the nuclear option in the Senate, I think evaporated after that disaster of a press conference.
Yeah.
Why would either of them put their credibility on the line for the Democrats' leftist agenda? These people don't know what they're doing. The average American person is sitting here watching this press conference saying, what is going on with our government? These people are incompetent. They don't have answers to basic questions. Joe Biden can't tell us when he's going to let reporters into border facilities where they're holding migrants. He says, oh, it'll happen eventually when I get control of it. Well, when's that, Joe? Right? Like, he keeps deflecting to his vice president. And by the way, poor Kamala, she's not going to be president. So, like, the fact that that Joe Biden has designated her in charge of the border crisis.
Okay, stop. This is massively important. We've only got 2 minutes in this segment. Mm-hmm. This is like giving the putrid, flaming bag of dog excrement to the vice president. How on earth did she agree to be point person for the border? Does she not understand the trap she walked straight into?
Well, look, I don't think she had a choice. Joe Biden decided to put her in charge of it. And then the next day, today, at this press conference, announces that he's running for re-election in 2024. So there you go. There's your answer, because everybody was unsure if Biden was going to run and hand it off to Kamala. Well, if Biden was going to hand the presidency off to Kamala in 2024, he wouldn't be giving her an assignment that she cannot possibly accomplish with the political views and positions of the Democrat Party on immigration. It is impossible for them to remain consistent with their principles and solve the problem. That's evidenced by the problem that we're seeing unfold at the border now. And it's only going to get worse. And she's going to be the one that gets the blame for it. So, look, Kamala's presidential futures, I think, dropped, I don't know, 50, 60, 70% when Biden gave her that. And then Biden just announced he's running for re-election.
Yep, yep. Kamala, sorry, not happening. He's Washington political editor for the most influential conservative website. You got to bookmark them. Check them out multiple times a day. Download the app. It's Breitbart.com. He's Matt Boyle. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist of the 45th President of the United States. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting live from the ReliefActor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't you dare touch that dial. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
I mentioned last night on Special Report that I had a binder full of questions. I think some people were kidding. I was not kidding. We had a lot, and most of this stuff did not get to. For example, nobody ever asked him about this big plan that he's got, this big idea to completely transform the economy to make it all green. That was something that we were hoping to get on the board with.
Paul Peter Ducey, he is the one-man press corps, but he didn't get to ask any of his questions from his binder. Matt Boyle, you got to put in that request. We want you to put the questions to Sleepy Creepy.
Look, I will tell you this. If Joe Biden did sit down with me across the table from me like President Trump did three times in the Oval Office, I will say this. I will be fair to him, but I will ask him very tough questions. And he's going to have to answer for these policies. And if he wants to truly be a bipartisan problem-solving president, as he proclaims himself to be, which, by the way, in the next breath, he was talking about the decimation of the Republican Party not existing in 3 years. But anyway, if he really wants to be a true problem-solving president, he would sit down with somebody like me or somebody like Peter Ducey or somebody like people that he doesn't agree with and actually do interviews with them. I've interviewed lots of Democrats, people that I don't agree with. And Republicans that I don't agree with. And I think we've done a good job of asking them, you know, probing serious questions about major issues and trying to foster a conversation. And I wish he would do it. And I wish a lot of the other Democrats would do it. I wish Nancy Pelosi would do it. But they're cowards. They're frankly cowards. They hide behind establishment media.
Put the request in, and at least that'll be news when he refuses. We're talking to Matt Boyle, Washington political editor for Breitbart.com. You're doing some very interesting work. It's going to last months and months and months, and it's kind of checking out who's running as a Republican in the next upcoming elections. Interesting news in just the last few days. Jody Heiss running for Secretary of State. Mo Brooks as well, and Eric Greitens declaring his campaign. What are you seeing in terms of the rumblings, and what is the role of somebody called Donald Trump?
Okay, so there's a couple of things here. Every Republican running in America, with rare exception, is basically claiming to be the Trump candidate, the America First candidate, etc. So I think one of the roles of us as in Breitbart, as a conservative news organization that believes in America First, is to vet that. So we're going to go into these candidates' backgrounds. We're doing it now in a lot of different places. We had a big story on the Ohio Senate race the other day. People can go check that out. It's still on our website on Breitbart. But we're digging into all of these different candidates and trying to vet them and figure out which ones are for real and which ones are not. And so and we're going to do interviews with them. We're going to look into their background, so on and so forth. So now, what's more, I think that President Trump's endorsement carries more weight than any political endorsement ever has in the history of American politics inside a Republican primary. It is the most important endorsement anybody can get. It is a field clearer, bar none, at least for now. But the president's got to be smart with it, too. So we've seen him in a couple of instances when he was president endorse people like Luther Strange, who didn't end up winning down right. in Alabama. Or there was a congressman in Virginia who ended up losing his primary to now Congressman Bob Good. So there's a couple of instances where that happened. So President Trump, I know, and I know that the team down there around him, Jason Miller and all those guys, are working – they're all down there in West Palm Beach.
Do you have confidence that that's not going to happen again?
Well, look, it's something I'm tracking very closely. So watching to see. So far, his endorsements have been pretty solid. So yeah. And they've been pretty good. They've been pretty smart. So we'll see how that plays out as time goes on. But for now, the Trump endorsement is the it's not just the gold standard. It's not just the platinum standard. It's the diamond standard in American politics. It is the best endorsement you can get. Bar none. If he keeps endorsing winners and people that are smart and fighters on the issues, he's going to make that last for a long time. He's going to be a kingmaker for a very long time in the Republican Party, whether he runs again or not.
Last very brief question to Matt Boyle of Breitbart.com. And are you seeing a shady, non-Trump, non-MAGA candidates trying to paint themselves as Trumpsters?
It's happening in a lot of places. Again, I would point people to the Ohio story we did the other day on Jane Timken. So she's the former chairwoman of the Ohio Republican Party. Her family's business shipped thousands of American jobs to China over the last several decades. And so we kind of did a big, deep dive into that. People can read it and think for themselves and see her response and so on and so forth.
I know one thing. Like a pit bull, Matt Boyle is going to be on the case, separating the wheat from the chaff, the MAGA from the fake MAGA. God bless you, Matt. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Next, we're going to have up a very special guest, a bit of a surprise guest here on America First. In the meantime, if you're going to call us, please make sure you're doing it on a line with a mobile carrier that's on our side. Most of the big companies, well, let's just say this, they're not Trump supporters, they're not MAGA supporters, and in fact, they're not even conservative. There's only one Christian conservative cell phone company. It's called PatriotMobile.com, and they're on your side. They don't give funds to Democrat candidates. They don't take a portion of your bill and give it to Planned Parenthood or gun control organizations. Their name is Patriot Mobile, and they are rated number one in customer service in the United States. Make the change today. You can keep your number. The U.S.-based team will transfer it for you. Reliable 4G LTE network across the nation. Amazing rates, especially for first responders and for our veterans. Call them today. 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Join the good guys today. patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
He's a great American patriot. He's an incredible success story, and he's a supporter of Salem across the board. Please, please support Mike Lindell. He is being boycotted by more than two dozen companies who don't want to stock his incredible MyPillow products. Go straight to the website, send a message to the cancel culture fascistic left, and if you use my name because you're a friend of America First, you're going to get more than 60% off more than 100 different products. The latest, the incredible sheepskin slippers. I've never worn slippers in my life. It's kind of an anti-Gorka thing. But these, I make an exception. They are that good. Call them, 800-829-8468. That number, 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. But you've got to use the secret code, G-O-R-K-A. Now this is really exciting. This is a very special guest for me because he's one of the reasons I'm here. None other than Vice President of All News and Talk Programming for the Salem News Network. Tom Tradup, are you there?
I am, Dr. Gorka. Thank you so much for having me on.
It is a distinct pleasure always. We don't do this often enough, and we shouldn't just do it when we're appealing to the better angels of our incredible audience. But you have been a stalwart supporter of the amazing Food for the Poor team. You've actually traveled with them into the areas where they are doing the Lord's work. And we are, I don't know, a couple of days away. It's next week. We're going to end this year's campaign. Will you talk to our listeners? How is it going? And why are you such a big supporter of the work of Food for the Poor?
Well, you know, thank you for the opportunity. I hadn't ever even heard of Food for the Poor until I started working with them a few years ago. And they gave me the opportunity, along with Phil Boyce from Salem and some of your colleagues like Mike Gallagher and Larry Elder, who've gone on actual trips with them to places like Haiti and Guatemala. And these guys are the real deal. You know, it isn't as if they don't have boots on the ground and they don't physically go to these remote villages where they have no food, they have no water. They build water systems for them. But most importantly, they deliver food in a way that, Seb, it's almost unbelievable that they have marshaled people all around the world. Taiwan provides surplus rice for them. There are other countries that...
See, let's stop here for a second, Tom, yeah. Because this is the thing that so blew me away originally. When they give us the figures, that it's a one-time donation, if you want, and if you donate as little as $37, right, you're going to feed a hungry child, not for a week, which is what I'd expect, but because of the way they've organized it, the donations, the buying power, 6 months of life-giving food for that child. That just blew me away, Tom.
That's right. It's two hot meals a day for a hungry child for 6 months, and a lot of the food is donated by people here in the States or by corporations that have overages or by, as I said, other countries. They have the food, and your money is going to deliver it to them in places like Honduras, where we're focusing on this campaign. And the interesting thing is a lot of people say, and you were saying to me before we got on the air, people ask, why should we here in America help a hungry child we're never going to meet, let's face it,
In another country. Right.
And Angel Aloma, who's the executive director of Food for the Poor, said it pretty well in an op-ed in the Miami Herald. He said, you know, people don't want to leave their home countries. Most people prefer to stay in their own country. But if they're desperate and they have no food, and a place like Honduras that got the double whammy of a hurricane and a tropical storm, plus COVID, plus flooding, farmlands were wiped out, and people just did not have the ability to feed their families. And as Angel points out, you know, if Food for the Poor, through the generosity of your listeners, can feed kids in Honduras or in Guatemala, in places like that, then they're less likely to want to migrate to the United States and become what we have now, this crisis on the border. And
right.
Politicians can debate that all day long as to whether Joe Biden rolling back the Trump policies caused it or whatever. But the fact is, he's right that most people don't want to make that long trek by themselves through horrible conditions to get to the U.S. unless they have no other option. And because of listeners like yours, and I just wanted to give the good news, you set a pretty ambitious goal for your show, for the campaign. And as of this morning, you were, hold on to your hat, $1,046 away from making the goal for the entire month with still time left through the 31st. That means if just 28 of your listeners, Seb, would give $37, or two people ponied up $523, or you had a real angel, you get Boris Epstein. He's got plenty to donate. Hey, just have Boris give $1,046. You've made your goal.
I like that. I'm going to suggest it to the Baron. But if any of you out there have been touched by what Tom has said, let's do it. Let's hit our target today. Just go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and hit the Food for the Poor banner right at the top, or call them directly. Some of you have made donations, 855-330-4673, via the phone. That's 855-330-HOPE, sebgorka.com. Tom, in the last 60 seconds we have with you, why is this just the right thing to do from a faith perspective?
Well, you know, we're called on scripturally to, you know, what you do for the least of these, you do for me, saith the Lord. I mean, not only is it something that we're called on as Christians to do, but also regardless of what your faith is or if you have no faith, it's just the right thing. Americans are the most generous people in the world. And quite frankly, the America First listeners are the most generous listeners in the world. And you know, for $37, you mentioned that, Seb, will feed a child for an entire 6 months. We'd spend that on a night out at the movies.
Yeah.
So maybe you just spend one less night out and one less tub of popcorn, and you've now fed a child, saved a life for 6 months.
What a great way of putting it. You know, a couple of cinema tickets and a tub of popcorn. Yeah, that's great. But you could save a child.
Yep.
Feed them for 6 months. Thank you for making it so concrete. That is, of course, Tom Tradup. He is Salem's very own vice president of news and talk programming, who's been on the ground with Food for the Poor. Make a difference today. Save a life. SebGorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, and the Food for the Poor banner. Thank you, Tom. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Are you in pain? Have you found no relief anywhere else? Then this is the product you must try. 100% drug-free, and tens of thousands of Americans are taking it right now and being liberated from their pain, me included. Find out today. See the amazing video testimonials at ReliefFactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95, which translates incredibly to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? I tell you what, potential liberation from your pain. The three-week quick starter pack will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening, just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose? You know it makes sense. Don't wait any longer. Do it today. After you've made your donation to Food for the Poor at my website, call Relief Factor, 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
The eve of his first solo press conference as president. A few minutes ago, somebody shouted out to him, "How are you getting ready for the press conference?" And he said, "What press conference?"
And it didn't get better after that. That explains everything about today's press conference. When yesterday, Biden said, What press conference? The one I've been rehearsing for a week and a half, and it was just that good. Okay, let's talk about his deputy. Kamala Harris is allegedly meeting with Mr. Humidor tomorrow, Bubba Bill Clinton, to discuss, at his initiative, empowering women. Yeah, because Bill knows a lot about that. I'm surprised they didn't invite gropey Randy Andy Cuomo as well. As ever, Mark Stein had something to say about that news. Bill Clinton empowering women. Video cut six. Play cuts.
The person in America who actually symbolizes the humbug and hypocrisy of the Democrats, who treats women like used Kleenex. And as everybody knows, has got is on the manifest of the Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein. And the funny thing about this, Tucker, is if I were all the other Democrat, liberal Democrats who gave their lives to this party for all their lives, people like Garrison Keillor, who is accused of putting his hand on the small of a woman's back and boom, 50-year career vaporized. Charlie Rose, 50 years, gone. Matt Lauer, however many, third of a century, gone. And yet this guy survives all the time. He is the Robert C. Byrd of sex fiends. If there was a Ku Klux Klan of sex fiends, a Kleenex Klux Klan or whatever, he would be the Grand Kleagle of the sex fiend clan.
Grand Kleagle of the Kleenex Ku Klux Klan. Look, you got to give it to Mark. He does come up with some one-liners that are superlative, but you saw it today. You just watched the Q&A with Joe Biden, and that derisory, that dismissive response to that female reporter when he was asked about running again in a second term and is Donald Trump going to run against him. And he says, what do you mean? Do you think I know? Do you know who's going to run? Though that is the quintessential Democrat attitude. Whether it's Biden dismissing a female reporter, whether it's... Do you remember, I was thinking today as I was watching the presser, do you remember the... what's his name? Abilio. Yeah, the fake Jim Acosta from CNN. Do you remember when he brushed aside, he manhandled that female intern at the press conference with Donald Trump, grasping at the microphone? I'm trying to think when a conservative reporter did that with a woman. Nah, I can't, because it didn't. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. In the next hour, the unstoppable Lisa Booth, Fox News, a very special clip from something extraordinary we did yesterday, and much more, including you. Give us a call, 833-334-6752.